Hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Kyle. No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, you are in the right place. Today, we're going to start off our experience with worship. And let me just tell you, I'd love you to put away distractions as much as possible so you can give us your full attention. I think it'll be worth it for you today. As a part of worship, we're going to do something called communion. And if that's something you would like to participate in, that would be great. You're going to need to run and grab two things. One is something to drink, doesn't matter what it is. Two is something to eat, again, doesn't matter what it is. If that's something you want to participate in, again, we'd love to have you do that. It's coming up in just a bit. We're so glad you're here.
Traditional Crossroads site, that when you walked into the room, you would have gotten a little packet of bread and juice. So you can take that out now. If you're joining us online or at home, in a coffee shop or a dorm room, then grab water, grab a muffin, grab coffee, wine, whatever you got there, bread. And we're going to take part right here together in something we call communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. Those lyrics we just sang, the cross that leaves no question of the measure of his love. We've been talking about a new mind, and I can tell you this, I didn't always understand that. I tried my hardest to earn that love, to work harder and harder, and every time we take communion at the church I grew up at, it was just me going, God, forgive me, because I screw it up all the time, and I don't remember all the sins I committed like two nights ago, so how do you forgive those? And as I began to grow in my relationship with Jesus by friends who had known him longer than me and they showed me the stories in the gospel, I began to encounter that kind of Jesus that we're singing about. His cross leaves no question of the measure of his love. We do not find a God at the cross who sits in judgment in a far off place. We find the God at the cross who comes near to us and to us and rescues and redeems us. His love, his mercy, his grace, it's all free. And so that's what we receive in this moment. And so if you're new with us and maybe you've never received Jesus as your King and Savior, you've never received that forgiveness, then today's your day. I invite you to do it for the first time with us. If you're new with us today and you're like, man, we're 15 minutes into this thing. I don't know what this means. I don't believe this. And we're glad and thrilled you're here. And we want you to be honest where you stand. And so maybe for this moment, you let it pass to be honest and say, I haven't accepted that forgiveness. And so I can't take this in honesty. But for those of us who have, this is a celebration of freedom. No more shame. All free because of his love. And so we model this from the first century, what Jesus did. And we find this in 1 Corinthians, which says this. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So you can take that wafer on the top, peel that back. We'll take this bread in representation of his body, broken for us. Let's take this together. Yeah. The scripture goes on. It says, "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We take this in representation of his blood that sets us free. We take it together. The cross leaves no question of his love, and it sets us free to walk in his ways. So we sing this together. Lord Jesus, we sing this in response to you for who you are.
You're wonderful, God. You're wonderful, yeah. Death could not hold you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Hey, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the
more time.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of
I hope that you are already connecting to God today through today's experience, but I also want to let you know that at Crossroads, we're working really hard to help you with the rest of your week as well, not just an hour on a weekend or whenever you happen to be watching this video, but we want to help you with more than just the weekend and with more things happening in your life. And so I want to let you know about crossroads.net, which has just been redesigned within the last few weeks, as well as our app. In both places, you can find helpful content on things like parenting and finances and relationships and faith and leadership, topics that you may be dealing with right now that the weekend message may or may not touch on. Crossroads is not just content. That's not what we are. We are a church, which means we're a community. And if you haven't joined the community yet, I want to invite you to cross that line. Now, we don't have membership. There's no formal process. But community means you are connected to people who know you and you know them. These are the people who, if you got into a crisis, you would call them. You have a flat tire, you'd pick up the phone. And so it's three people you would call. At Crossroads, we want to help you find those people in your life, people who are going in the same direction towards God that you want to go. And regardless of where you live, we can help you find that. You just go to crossroads.net and click the chat icon in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen and just say, hey, I'm looking to get connected into community. And they would love to help you do that. We've got groups that meet all over the place, and we've even got some digital groups that have begun meeting online. And you're welcome to join one of those. Again, just click the chat button. They'll ask you some questions and get you connected to the right community for you. Now, I also want to let you know about something really exciting that's happening next weekend. It's the Super Bowl of Preaching. Yes, we're still allowed to call it the Super Bowl of Preaching because the NFL hasn't shut us down yet. Hopefully that continues this year. It's the Super Bowl of Preaching. If you don't know what that is, imagine that football and church smashed together, and what you got was the best of both worlds. What it is an actual competition. There'll be the best preaching of the year, hilarious commercials. There's even a halftime show, and you do not want to miss it. You can go to crossroads.net to find locations near you that are having the Super Bowl, or you can find times to watch online. Or you can also do this. You can host a Super Bowl party in your house. Maybe you're already hosting a party for the actual Super Bowl. Well, why don't you consider your pregame being the Crossroads Super Bowl of preaching? Invite people over an hour early and put it on with some snacks. I mean, if you want to do that, if you want to host a Super Bowl of preaching in your house, that'd be incredible, and we'd love to help you. And we actually have something special we'd love to send you. So go to crossroads.net, hit the chat button, and say, I'd like to host Super Bowl of preaching in my house, and they will send you something that you are going to want to have for game day. So we'd love to have you do that. That's, again, next weekend, Super Bowl of preaching. At Crossroads, we're not just a community. We are a team. There's a team at Crossroads who believes so much in the mission and movement of what God's doing here that we actually fund and fuel that mission each and every month. My wife and I are part of that team, and we've been a part of that team for about 12 years, and we love the fact knowing that every single week, part of our income goes to support things like this video that we really hope is helping you connect to God. So you can set up a recurring gift, or you can make a one-time gift, whatever you want to do. We would love to have you join the team today. Now, if my explanation of the Super Bowl of preaching didn't quite clear it up for you, here's a video to hopefully explain it more, hopefully.
Football, 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 sports, football, explosions, tailgating, football, preaching, football, halftime show, football, commercials, football, football, football. You won't want to miss football.
If you come to the Crossroads Football Super Bowl service, you'll have fun, see football, eat food, and watch football. Football consumption is recommended in high football doses, no matter age or gender. Football. Warning, may not contain football.
War determines not who is right, but who is left. He who throws dirt will lose ground. He who lives in a glass house must change in the basement. He who goes to bed with itchy bum, wake up with smelly finger. Yes, we're going to talk about the mind today. We're going to talk about the mind, and we're going to talk about wisdom as we end this series. I'm excited for today. So let's pray before we get going any further. God, thank you for how we've encountered you this entire time together. I thank you for the chuckles you've maybe given us already, and I thank you for how you might have already put something on our minds. I want you to put something else on our minds, God. I want you to help us to understand how to renew our minds, how to increase our energy, how to better connect with you as we have a great year. So help me to be clear, and God, just thank you for the opportunity to share transcendent ideas. You're good to help me. You're good to allow me to represent your truth today. I pray that's exactly what happens. I pray these things according to the character and the identity of Jesus. Amen. Who is the wisest man in the history of the world? No one is saying anything. This is not a trick question. Oh, I hear the question I'm wanting to hear. I thought everyone was going to say Jesus, because that's always the answer when you're in church, right? Jesus. Sunday school teacher asks the little kids, what has a bushy tail and eats nuts? Jesus? No, it's a squirrel. Actually, the answer to this question was Solomon. Jesus is certainly more wise than Solomon, but Jesus had some DNA that was kind of divine that was helping him out. Solomon, we even hear in our culture the wisdom of Solomon, not Solomon Wilcott, who's a part of our church and is part of our Super Bowl service every year, but the wisdom of Solomon, this ancient king in the nation of Israel, one of the good kings, and we can learn something about him. His dad was the greatest king in Israel's history. His name was David. David, when he dies, he gives the kingship over to Solomon. God comes to Solomon, and the story goes like this. God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, well, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? God answered Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for, this is very careful, you've not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. God asked them, whatever you want, you can have it. Now, if God actually came to you and said, whatever you want right now, ask it, and boom, you can have it, what would you say? What would you say? Many of us would say the things that God's been hearing forever and ever and ever. He asked Solomon, and he's waiting like, okay, I wonder if he's going to give the same one that everyone else gives. I want more money, more money, more money. I want possessions. I want honor. I want people to know me. I want to climb the ranks. I want the life of my enemies. I want vengeance. I mean, God's heard this over and over and over. It's where most of our prayers center. Give me more money. Give me the elevation of status I want. You know, crush that person. That person seeing they're an idiot who's hurting me. Give me enduring fame, whatever it is. These are the things that people always ask for. And if even if we're not praying about those are things that we want. Those are the things that trip us up in our relationship with God. And when Solomon says, give me wisdom, God says, booyah, wow, wow. No one asks for wisdom. Because you've asked for wisdom, Solomon gets all the rest of these things. Some of these things he gets because God uniquely blessed him. Some of the things he gets because when you have wisdom, you have the capacity for new things like you could never imagine before. What is wisdom? I'm defining wisdom. Wisdom is seeing the patterns and taking action. That's what it is. Seeing the patterns and taking action. When you've seen something happen over and over again, you go, oh, okay, that's it's gonna happen that way again. That's wisdom. This is why older people tend to be much more wise. At least this is their reputation. It's because they've seen a lot more things, they've seen a lot of patterns, and then they take action. This is what wisdom is: seeing and taking action. Now, it's really important to understand that this is a way for you and I to renew our mind. It's a way for you and I, the big word for today really is energy. It's a way for you and I to conserve energy. When you see the pattern, you don't have to stress and think about so much about what you should do. Instead, you can just do it. Our mind is a huge machine of taking energy. I don't know exactly what energy is. I haven't seen any scientific analysis of exactly what energy is. I don't know if they're gonna find something in DNA that's gonna tell us that some of us are predisposed to have high energy and some predisposed to have low energy. I don't understand it. Don't we all recognize that some people just have more energy than others, right? We've seen that. And if you're around a lot of little kids, a lot of little itty bitty bitty ones, you'll see that some just come out of the womb having more energy than others, not necessarily being smarter, not necessarily having more likelihood for success, but just having more energy. I got the two youngest beings in my household right now is my dog Winston and my grandson Louie, who's living with us right now as well with my daughter and son-in-law. And these two are night and day as far as energy. Winston, we took Winston out of the litter because he was the most mellow dog that was there. We thought we just got him on a slow day. No, he's just slow. 22 hours a day he'll be on the couch. I kid you not, 22 hours a day. That's a good day, it's a normal day. He'll get off if you want him to get off, but he just soon doesn't sit there. He's got no other energy other than that. Now our grandson, he's like, if he's sitting there to get his food, he's like this. He's always, you know, he's moving his ankles. You know, he's always going. I've been around kids who have more energy than him. I've been around kids who have less energy than him. What I know, all of us have some level of energy that's put into us, and all of us can grow our energy. All of us, whatever energy you have, you can grow your energy where you are right now. There's decisions you make. I remember when I had a pain in my body some time ago, and I was thinking I was this macho guy, like, I'm not gonna take pain pills, I don't need pain meds. And the doctor said, well, Brian, let me explain this to you. You only have so much energy, And you can use your energy to fight the pain, or you can use your energy to heal your body. I was like, okay, I think I'll take the pain meds, and I'll have my energy go to doing the body. So that's how he described it for me. All of us have energy, all of us need energy, and what's this have to do with the mind? The mind is an energy hog. It is an energy hog. Every minute, this brain, the brain itself, burns 11 calories. 20% of your metabolic rate, this is how you kind of burn calories, is related to this sucker right here. We've looked at the last few weeks how this works. How does this work? We've got all these chemicals, these neurochemicals that are moving and coursing through our brain, right? They got their neural pathways. We've got these synaptic connections with these little micro electric shocks that kind of barely buzz each other and helps the chemicals keep going. And as we live our life and as we do certain things, these chemicals keep going and going and going. And here's the thing. Our brain is wired to save calories. You're made to consume calories. That's right. If you weigh more than you wish you did, hey, blame it on biology. Blame it on anthropology, because you and I wake up every day saying, I have got to consume calories. I've got to have them. I got to have them. I got to have. Biologically, we see that. Because our body wants it for energy, because that's the thing that's stoking the fire. That's the thing that's the fire in the belly that gives us energy. And so we're made to consume calories and take calories and eat, and our brain is made to conserve calories. One of the ways the brain conserves calories for our whole body is to have us keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Why is that? Because if you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, which is what? It is a pattern. If you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, you're not making any choices. You're not burning any calories. You're having the same neural pathways go again and again. If I had a drill up here and I was to go through this piece of wood, I was to drill an 1/8-inch hole, and then I was to take my drill bit and just go just a hair to the right, I would start drilling. Where would that drill bit want to go? Into the pilot hole. It would want to go into that hole. If I had a block of ice here and I had a molten lead ball bearing, just red hot, virtually almost dripping, and I dropped it on that block of ice and it melted all the way through, and then I dropped another one, I dropped it there. The second time through, it would go easier and easier, and the hole would get wider and wider, and this is the way our brain works. Our brain works this way. As our chemicals, as we start to get values, opinions, beliefs, our chemicals start going a certain way, and it's like, that's where the drill hole is. We just want to keep going that way. And every time the juices go through, it makes it easier and easier for those chemicals. And our brain wants us to conserve calories. The moment we start to think differently, we start to burn more calories. We start to lose energy. It's true. Those of us who went to school and are in school right now, when do you get more hungry? After a physical workout or after a mental workout? Mental, like when I used to study, like I could never stop. I was hungry all the time. I go have football practice and I want to drink something, but not eat. But man, you start like putting mind work, I just get really hungry. It's because our brain is consuming crazy amounts of energy. Now, when we understand that our brain is wired to preserve energy, and when we understand the patterns and taking action on those patterns are the way to be wise. I mean, when you see something happens again and again, you go, I know it's gonna turn out that way, so I'm gonna make sure I do that. You just become wise. When you see like over and over again, man, I just don't have a budget and I never know where my money is going. Okay, that's a pattern. But if we only just see the pattern and we don't take action, then we never get the benefit and blessing of actually having money at the end of the month. Patterns, we've all seen patterns in different ways. Wisdom is when you see the pattern, you know it, and you actually take action. So for us to have energy, we have to have wisdom, because we can't afford every decision we make, oh, what's the right thing? I can't think, too much energy. We need to know this is the right thing. We need to develop wisdom. So I want to give us four examples today. There's dozens of examples, but four examples of wisdom and how this will increase your energy. And I'm going to quote from Solomon, because he's written a couple books in the Bible, and they're known as wisdom literature. And we're going to see how he saw patterns and actually put them into practice. The first pattern I want to talk about is I want to talk about grasping of time versus squandering life. Grasping time versus squandering, you know, time is like this. Actually, there's a word in the Bible for time. One of those words is chronos. Chronos. It's the word we get for chronological. Chronological. Chronological time in the scriptures and what we know is this. Seconds turn into minutes, turn into hours, turn into days, weeks, months, years, decades, lifetime. And it just keeps marching on. There's a tick, 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 go, go, go. And what we have to do to be wise with our life is understand there is a certain cadence to life, a thing that must be done. We have to see that pattern and not try to deny that pattern. Book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 12, written by Solomon's dad, David, says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Number our days, we may get a heart of wisdom. Some people believe that our days are numbered, like God's already determined how long you're gonna live and you can't do anything about it. I don't believe that. I don't think that you have a certain time to live, and so therefore you can go ahead and smoke two packs of cigarettes. It doesn't matter because you're going to die when you die. I don't think that's the way God is. I don't think that's the way the Bible is. But this verse says that there is, whatever it is, there is a finite number to our days. And if we get a heart for wisdom, our days are going to be better, and our days are actually going to be longer. There are certain things you have to do at certain days and certain times and certain seasons. It's the chronos of life that just keeps going on. And when you take a look at some of our choices, like not doing the right thing on time, you can actually increase your energy by expending energy. This is why you work out. You work out not just to burn calories and maybe get skinnier. You work out because you're actually increasing your energy. You go to sleep because when sleeping, it's the pattern. You increase your energy for the next day if you get a good night's sleep. It's a pattern. I see a pattern that people who work out, they have more energy. I'm going to do that. I see a pattern. Science says very clearly, people who sleep well have more energy than I'm going to do. I see another pattern. Another pattern is people who aspire to retire and retire die earlier. That's a very clear pattern. A report from the Institute of Economic Affairs shows that following an initial boost in health, retirement increases your risk of clinical depression by 40%, while raising your chances of being diagnosed with a physical condition by 60%. Wow. Maybe retirement isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's good for us to have a healthy level of pressure on our life. It's good for us to have a healthy level of stress on our life. And if we don't have appropriate stress, and there's going to come a day where you may be kicked out of corporate America, that's fine, but do not think that you just need to be sedate and not have any pressure in your life. No, that we need an appropriate level of pressure in order to stoke our fires and keep our energy up and actually keep us healthy. Chronos is about taking advantage of opportunities that are right here and right now. Now, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 8, he says this, "One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, 'For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?' This also is vanity and an unhappy business." So there is a chronos, like got to sleep every day, got to do budget planning, got to eat the right meals, that affects my energy. I've got to have the right people in my life. I've got to work hard at work to increase my financial earning capacity. I've got to, you know, there's all these things that are like the metronome. They're part of chronos time, hit your marks every day, right? But there's also another kind of time, and it's referred to here. It's a time that is not necessarily in a momentary lapse of productivity. Solomon says, hey, if you're just like hitting your marks every day, being faithful at work, but you're not taking care of pleasure, you're not enjoying life. He says, vanity of vanities, you're vain.
You're so vain. You probably think the song is about you. You're so vain.
I bet you think the song is about you. Yes, come on, let's hear it up for all the old white people. Yeah. Carly Simon. Man, do you know anything about that song? That song is how we think about you're so vain, and we think of it as somebody who's just into themselves, and they strut around. That song was a compilation of three men who were in her life. One of them was Warren Beatty, just looking for attention. A lot of things can be said about me, but that kind of looking for attention in terms of how you dress, I don't think that kind of vanity is me. I'm like, I've got a shirt here I've been wearing for 5 years. Some of you are going, I know it. Would you buy a new freaking shirt, please? I'm tired of your word. I know. I'm not as concerned about outward appearances as others might be, but that's actually not vanity in the Bible. It's a different kind of vanity. Vanity is being talked about in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is mentioned 26 times in the 11th chapter, is worthless. It's worthless. Solomon's saying, man, if all you're doing is I owe, it's off to work I go, and you're not smelling the roses and enjoying life, it's worthless. It's a worthless life. Chronos is not the only kind of time. There's also another kind of time, which is the word kairos. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and following, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time or of the kairos. Kairos, meaning this moment, grab what you can, this moment, do the right thing, this moment, there's an opening of something, step into that opening right now because you don't know if it's going to close or not. Kairos is actually an archery term. It's a term that shows that the shot is opened, you can take the shot.
Developed in the Middle Ages to train military archers using longbows, Bersal requires an archer to shoot well in various situations, made difficult with changing wind and lighting conditions. An archer strolling on the path encircling a traditional Bersal garden will suddenly come upon a narrow open corridor cut between rows of trees or well-manicured shrubs set in flower beds. Rows of timber or masonry wall panels, varying in height and interlaced among the greenery on either side, usually shield this corridor from other areas of the garden. By regulation, the open space between the panel blinds is only 5.5 feet across. Down this open range, the archer will spy a round black and white target, known as a butt, placed at the far end of the corridor, a little over 50 yards away, and paired with a similar butt at his feet. In modern Bersal competition, to score a maximum number of points, the archer must shoot a single arrow down this leafy gauntlet and center it in a zone less than 2 inches wide on the opposite butt.
The kairos is the moment there is an opening and a pulling of the trigger. That's the kairos. I got this crossbow a couple months ago. I had a chronos goal of hunting. I always wanted to hunt, and I saw Walking Dead, early years of Walking Dead, and I saw Daryl with that crossbow, and I said, I'm gonna get me one of those. That's awesome. Love to hunt with a crossbow. But then I would do research on it, and there were so many options, I just would totally lose my mind on it. The day after Thanksgiving, I had breakfast with a friend who came out of our house, and he brought his brother with him, and what do you know, he was a hunter, and he said he hunted with a crossbow. I was like, tell me about it. So he told me the brand he had. He said it works great. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, I know which one it is. I made a phone call to a local archery shop. They had that bow on sale for a Black Friday special. I went and I bought it immediately. The next day, inside of 24 hours of hearing about that bow, I had killed and my family was eating our first deer. Kairos was like, I got to, now, as background, there was a lot of chronos that went into that. I researched for a while, if I ever hunted, where would that be? What kind of hunting gear would I need to have? I researched a bunch of, once I get the deer, I have to drag it somewhere or take it, what do I do? There was a bunch of chronos things that were there, but in the moment, it came to time, I had to pull the trigger. Friends, there's some of us in here that have an energy issue that are not getting ahead because you're not doing the simple things you need to do every day and every week and every year. You think you're immune from them. You're not immune from them. You're not. And there's some of us who are missing out on life because we got this thing going, but on the big things, we're not pulling the trigger. On the stuff that brings flavor to our life, we're not pulling the trigger. So if you want to have a new mind and increase your energy, you have to understand and live in the tension of grasping time over wasting your life and letting it slip away. The second area for managing our energy and wisdom is practicing forgiveness over bitterness. We choose to practice forgiveness over bitterness. Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness. And if you want to be like Jesus, then you're going to have to be a good forgiver, because we just did communion earlier, which is about God forgiving us. And Jesus actually going through pain so that we could be forgiven. Pain on a cross. Forgiveness is a big thing for him. And if God's a big thing for you, then you're going to have to be into forgiveness, because forgiveness is a big thing for God. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, one of Jesus' friends, Peter, says, Peter came up to him and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times. How about 77 times? In other words, you never stop. It goes on and on and on. I've had people come to me and apologize to me. I've never had someone come and do it twice, 3 times, or even 7 times, let alone 77 times. The way we forgive isn't by waiting for someone to prostrate themselves and say the magic words. It's by having an attitude that says, I'm going to release it. This is the word here in the original language, aphemi, release. See, our brain, our chemicals, like they get in ruts. And our chemicals, if we keep thinking about the person who wronged us, the parent who said the wrong words to us, the person who took all the glory from us on the team, the girl who dumped us, the guy who dishonored, if we keep thinking about those, then guess what? Our energy goes to creating those ruts in our mind, not forgiving that person. And that bitterness, that memory, that angst that we have, that's energy that's being taken from some productive thing. You never get ahead by being bitter. You never get ahead by remembering and being angry about the past, never. You never, ever, ever build a life of value because you remember what happened to you. No, you don't, never. The movies might like tell you that you can't. No, you cannot. But when you forgive, you free up energy, you free up capacity that can create and can push things further. It's going to be difficult to do because you're going to have to get out of the rut of your thinking, but you have to do it. You have to jump into a different place of forgiveness if you want your energy to go into creating a new mind and a new life. The third area that I want to talk about is that we have to exercise discernment over being stiff-necked. Exercise discernment over being stiff-necked. Life is complicated, isn't it? Who agrees life is complicated? Come on, there we go. It's complicated, it just is. It's complicated. We like to think it's simple. It's not. Life's not easy, and it's rough. And there are a conundrum of choices that are before us. In the Bible, people who are seen as being able to wade through complexity and make the right choice, wade through complexity and see the pattern, make the right choice, are seen as discerning, able to discern the pattern. And those who aren't up for the energy that's needed to discern, because it takes energy to discern, are known as fools, scoffers, or being stiff-necked. Who has a stiff neck? Someone who's not going to move their neck. That's who. Our brain wants to conserve calories, so our brain is always going to fight different data that makes us change our mind, because changing our mind, this is just physiological reality, changing our mind is getting chemicals to go in a different direction through a different part of our brain, and that's going to take more calories, and our brain doesn't want to do it. So you have to take control of your brain and say, sorry, brain, no, you're going to work on this. You're going to change. I am going to tell you to change. And the spirit that is in me and above me and around me is going to facilitate this change. This must happen. This, by the way, is how you make a lot of money in marketing. The way you make a lot of money in marketing is not to educate people. It's to tell people what they already believe, because that's what they want to hear. And if you could sell something that's in line with what somebody already believes, you're going to make money, because we don't want to change at all. Book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 8. This again is from Solomon. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. Scoffers, I can't believe she did it. And social media is so good for scoffing. There's never been a better made human platform for scoffing stiff-necker fools than social media. Because you can always find somebody who's gonna scoff right along with you. You can always find somebody who thinks just like you because you're right and you're easy, and you can just keep creating those ruts in your brain. But the wise turn away wrath. Scoffers trying to stir up wrath, get everybody to go. The wise turns it away. Said, no, we're not getting anywhere with this. I mean, let me just come wade into a complex thing that hit our world this last week. In Northern Kentucky, we had a local high school go to Washington, D.C., and you all know this story, just, you know, tough stuff, right? When we all saw the very initial, I think when we all, most of us at least, we saw the initial short video clip, there was a understandable level of indignancy. And then if you happen to, like I did, watch all the long videos, like all of them long, that started long before, you know, the incident that got the play, all of a sudden it's not that obvious what happened there any longer. It's a lot more complicated. Our very own Chuck Mingo wrote an op-ed about that, and I love what Chuck says. Chuck said, in our world of viral snippets, we have lost our ability to listen before jumping to assumptions and filling in the story ourselves. We like to stay in our echo chambers, surrounded by people and sources that tell us what we want to hear. But when we listen to people's stories with empathy, it changes who we are, and by extension becomes a revolutionary act that brings connection in the place of fear, hatred, and division. An echo chamber is a pattern of thought. It's our neural patterns that just want to be affirmed that the chemicals are flowing in the right direction. And our body wants to conserve energy. Our body doesn't want to burn energy. It wants to conserve energy. So let's talk about some complex things. Let's be discerning. Just some things for you to think about. For all of those who are white like me, I don't know if you noticed it, I am white. Yeah, I'm very white. White is awesome. It is. If I was black, I'd probably say black is awesome. I've never been black, but I am white, so I like being white. So let me say, if you are white, you have to understand, discerning. If you wear a hat or a shirt that says, make America great again, you have to be discerning and wise to know that you're going to stir up some things around you that you might not want to happen. You're going to be seen in a certain way that may or may not reflect you. Hear me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have voted the way you did. I'm not saying that your president is an utter loser. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you make the choice to have that phrase, people who aren't white will look at you in a certain way that is going to cause tension in your life, and you will cut your influence in half. And so why you would want to do that, I don't know. It's not a wise thing to wear those words. They don't mean what you to others what you may think they mean. I also say, if you are not white, if you're a person of color, it's not as simple as looking at somebody who happens to wear that and saying that person's a racist. There's a lot of reasons why people voted for Donald Trump that, believe it or not, have nothing to do with race. The scoffers would say, no, that's not possible. It actually is very possible. And there's a whole bunch of reasons. And you're going to have to exercise your brain and go, do I want to judge that person based on some words on their clothing? Or might I want to have some empathy and go, I wonder why that's there. All I'm saying here is there's a level of discernment when we get into these matters. There's a level of complexity. And if you don't want to engage in that kind of difficult, complex discernment, you are a simpleton who doesn't want to expend the energy. You don't like me anymore, do you? That's all right. That's right. I'm just trying to give you examples of something that's as relevant as possibly could be. You and I, if you want your life to get ahead, you're going to have to turn on your brain and burn calories when other people don't want to burn calories. And you're going to have to learn at the same time how to shut off your brain, because you don't have to burn calories, because wisdom is just wisdom. It's always better to forgive than be bitter. And just kind of go that way. You're going to have to learn and do a different way that other people do. Four. Seeing hope over doom. That's the last one I'm talking about. Seeing hope over doom. Scoffers will always see reasons why things are going to fail. Why it's going to be awful. It's bad. I can't believe it. Scoffers will always see that. Always see that. But people of a new mind, people who are increasing their energy are going to have hope. In Proverbs chapter 10, 28, again, written by Solomon. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The wicked just expect things to go bad. The wicked, I expect, I could have called that one. The wicked just expect things to go downhill. First generation, I'm young. I've heard my kids say, we're the first generation that's not gonna out-earn their parents. Who says that? Where are you getting this expectation? My loser young generation thought that too. People keep telling us that. What is that? How about a hope? How about a desire for something bigger and beyond? When God is moving in your life, you're not doom and gloom. Yes, you do recognize there's pain's going to come. We talked about the very first week. Jesus promised us pain will come. We're not denying the pain will come. But when the pain does come, when it does come, we go, I've got a vision and a hope and a future, and I'm turning on my brain and telling me this is going to pass because God's doing something. I'm going to trust that a better day is coming ahead. It's hope. And when we feel that way, man, we get energy that starts cranking up. Our energy comes alive. Why should we have energy if we go, it's going to suck, if we're all going to get slaughtered? Well, guess what? You don't need any energy, do you? You're just going to be a lemming who gets crushed. You don't need energy for that. But when you go, hey, something good's coming, something inside of you cranks up your energy and gets you going the right direction. Kind of what got us into Super Bowl, actually. Super Bowl service of preaching. We're going to do it next week again. We've been doing this for 15 years. Let me tell you the story of this. The story for this was first few years CrossFit was going, I noticed that people would not come to church on Sunday where Super Bowl was happening. It bummed me out. I was like, man, how come people are not, bum me out. What's the reason? Reason is because a lot of people get into football mode, and football mode and church mode don't necessarily go together. And I was honest with myself and I said, yeah, you know what? If I wasn't paid to be here in the Super Bowl, I might not be here either. I might actually go to my Super Bowl party. I might do that instead, or just get myself ready. And so Hope said, huh, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be this. Why don't we do something that's football oriented on the Super Bowl of preaching weekend? The most consolidating and peaceful holiday in all of America, one that we all like and we can all get on board with, right? And so we started building it. We started doing little things year after year, year after year after year, and that's how the Super Bowl preaching came to be the highest attended weekend service of the year for us, other than Easter. Easter's and Super Bowl competes with each other really well. That's unheard of. It's unheard of. When other of my peers just go, oh, I expect that people aren't going to show up today. It's going to take a hit. Man, you put some energy into that, and it just kind of goes on and increases. Friends, this is what I want you to build your energy. You and I need to build our calorie intake. We need to be consuming the things that God wants us to consume. We need to see the patterns and take the right path and act on it. And what do you know? Life will start working, and you'll have a great 2019. And by the way, next weekend's going to be great. Bring your friends. I can't wait for friends I've invited. It's, man, it's, and we'd love to have you use your energy to help us reach and bless our friends by volunteering somebody. It's a weekend of hope, and we got some new stuff happening next week. I'm really excited about it. But let me pray for you right now before we leave. God, you are the God of all wisdom. You've created every pattern. You don't just see every pattern. You created every pattern. And I pray that we would have the hope for the future that you want for us. And Jesus, I thank you for your forgiveness. God, I thank you for giving us the gift of time. And God, of the four things I said, I know that all of us probably have one of these things that just tagged us. Help us to embrace the one thing that we need to increase our energy in serving you. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. All right, we'll see you next weekend.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, next week is the Super Bowl of preaching. You're not going to want to miss it. And hey, parents, we've got something special for you that you can do with your kids or as a whole family. It's the Crossroads Kids Club Anywhere Experience Super Bowl edition.